for over 78 hours from July 24th through the 28th, 2002, nine miners were trapped underground in Lincoln Township, Somerset County, Pennsylvania. The crisis began when 18 coal miners at the Cue Creek mine accidentally dug into an abandoned, poorly documented mine, flooding the room and pillar mine with an estimated 50 million gallons of water. At approximately 9 p.m. on that Wednesday evening, these 18 miners found themselves in grave danger 240 feet underground, below the fields of Dormel Farm. Nine miners in the one left panel area used the mine's phone system to notify the other group of nine miners in the two left panel to evacuate immediately, which they were able to do. The mine, however, was flooding too rapidly for the miners left in the one left panel to evacuate. With the entrance to the Cue Creek mine nearly underwater, rescue operations began immediately. With the help of an engineering technician, GPS measurements were made and a 6.5-inch diameter borehole was begun at 2:05 a.m. The borehole was drilled to allow air to be pumped into the mine shaft where the miners were presumed to be. To locate them at all was a long shot. To find and retrieve them alive, immensely more so. As the drilling rig's air compressor pushed air into the mine through a hole smaller than the size of this paper plate, rescue workers tapped on the inserted air pipe and received three strong bangs in response, followed later that morning by nine more taps. New concerns were aroused, however, when monitors showed rising water, causing rescuers to fear that they had perhaps an hour before the area where the miners had taken refuge would be underwater. Time was of the essence. By noon Thursday, the miners had to retreat to the highest ground. With water rising 70 feet away, the foreman of the crew, Randy Fogel, estimated that they had about an hour left to live. Notes were written, prayers said, and most of the miners roped themselves together to die as a family. But then as dewatering of the mine above ground continued, they noticed and confirmed that the water had ceased to rise. It was an answer to prayer. The governor of Pennsylvania, speaking at a news briefing, reported that the miners were in a very fragile state. He then said, "We may need a little help from the Almighty." A little help? Now that's an understatement. He also said they were bringing every asset that is necessary to complete this rescue operation and that anything less than the rescue of all nine of the men would be unacceptable. As the rescue effort unfolded, people around the nation and the world nervously watched and anxiously waited. Eventually, a special pen-shaped two-way communication device was lowered into the 6-inch air pipe with a child's glow stick attached to it for visibility in the dark mine. With communication now established, the miners confirmed that all nine of them were alive and well, except for the foreman, Fogel, who was experiencing chest pains. Finally, at 12:30 a.m. on July 28th, an 8.5-foot high steel mesh escape capsule with supplies descended into rescue hole number one, deep into the void, where the men had languished in fear and hope for 77 hours. Due to his recurring chest pains, Randy Fogel was chosen to be the first rescued miner and arrived on the surface at approximately 1 a.m., Talk about jubilation. Bill and I were on the edge of our seat with our eyes glued to the TV, along with millions of others who were also watching the nail-biting drama unfold. Perhaps you were watching it too. By 2:45 a.m., all nine miners were safe on the surface, but not before having to endure one last ordeal. Because the drill shaft had gone through an aquifer, in their final exit, the miners were drenched in yet another torrent of ice-cold water. When they emerged, their extremities were purple and mottled from immersion in the frigid water. In fact, the lowest body temperature reported among the men was 92.5 degrees, and the warmest was 96.8, compared to a normal body temperature of 98.6. Thanks not to a little help from the Almighty, but to a lot of help from the Almighty, all the men were saved and went on to make full recoveries. Most of them remained in the mining industry, though Randy Fogel, the foreman, was the only one of the group who continued to work underground. After such a horrendous ordeal, I think I would have made a career change. Another survivor did retire from the industry altogether and vowed never to mine again. Good call, I'd say. Well, as you might expect, books were written about the ordeal, including one by the miners themselves. One local singer-songwriter penned an account of the events surrounding the rescue in a song entitled "He Said Yes," which quickly became a local favorite. I don't know the "he" to which the singer was referring, but I do know the "he" who said yes to reaching down into your darkness and mine to deliver us from the gravest danger we could ever face. Not the danger of rising water, but the danger of being cast into hell for all eternity. This "he" is the Heavenly Father who said yes to sending his only begotten Son into the world to save us from the terror of dying in our sins and the horror of being cast out of his presence forever. He said yes to shining a light into our darkness, not the meager light of a child's glow stick, but the brilliant light of the world, Jesus Christ, who, thanks to the Almighty's divinely orchestrated rescue operation called Operation Calvary, rescued us from the condemnation our sins deserve. The miners lost in the Q Creek mine needed help from beyond themselves, and so do we. Their help had to come from above, and so did ours. For there's nothing we can do to rescue ourselves, to save ourselves, or to deliver ourselves from the danger to our souls posed by our sins. But help had to come from elsewhere, and it did, from the very heart of God. The engineers involved in the Q Creek rescue used a GPS system to locate the miners in their time of desperate need. But the divine engineer who created you doesn't ever need a GPS to locate your whereabouts. He knows where you are at all times. That's because he's with you at all times. Whether you're soaring on the heights of happiness and joy or immersed in the freezing cold of doubt, discouragement, or despair, the one who created you and knows you from start to finish, who knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about you, loved you enough to send his Son to die for you. In obedience to his Father's loving will for you, Jesus sacrificed his life for you. Not because you deserved his love and mercy, but because you needed his love and mercy. And you always will. Me too. The trauma surgeon at the site said the feet of the rescued men looked like if you rubbed real hard, you could rub the skin right off. How much greater the agony of your dear Savior when nails were cruelly driven into his feet. Nails meant to secure him to the cross. But it wasn't the nails that kept him on that terrible tree. It was your sin that held him there until your salvation could be accomplished. At his press conference, the Pennsylvania governor had said, "We are bringing every asset that is necessary to complete this rescue operation, and anything less than the rescue of all nine of the men would be unacceptable." It was even more unacceptable to your Father in heaven that you should perish in your sins. So he sent the only asset necessary and the only asset able to complete his divine rescue operation, the one about whom he declared, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen one, in whom I am well pleased." No other way could ever be acceptable or able or necessary or possible to forgive your sins, to cleanse you from your guilt, to rescue you from such a harrowing, deadly, and eternal fate as hell, and to save your soul unto eternal bliss and peace with God. Communication with the nine lost and desperate miners was established by a small pen-shaped device. But God established communication with lost and desperate sinners like you and me by becoming a man and by taking our place on the cross. He died on earth that you might live forever with him in heaven. And just as miners must go deep into the bowels of the earth to retrieve the prize of coal or gold or precious gems, going deep is what the Christian life is all about. Are you willing to go deep with the one who gave up his all so that he might have all of you? Lent is about going deep with Christ in order to grow deeper in Christ. To grow deeper in your love toward God, deeper in your worship of God, deeper in your amazement toward God, and deeper in your intimacy with God. Going deep means delving deeper into God's Word. For the Word is where God will meet you, where he will speak to you, encourage you, reassure you, lead and guide you, and mold and shape you more and more into the image and likeness of his Son. No, you don't have to go deeper as a Christian. But why wouldn't you? Why would you want to be just a surface Christian? Just a superficial believer? Rather than being one who goes deep. It's a great compliment to describe someone as deep. The same cannot be said of calling someone shallow. A shallow Christian is a contradiction in terms. But a true disciple is committed to going deeper in Christ by putting down deep roots in his word, deep roots in prayer, and deep roots in humbly serving others in Jesus' name. In football, a wide receiver goes deep because he wants to get closer to the goal. The goal is the end zone, and that's where the game is won or lost. Miners go deep to reach the goal of the coal that fuels the engine of industry. Disciples of Jesus go deep because the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ is worth it. The goal of a relationship with the one who went deep to rescue you from the terror of sin and death in order to bring you into the light of his forgiveness and eternal life. The Cue Creek songwriter entitled his song, "He Said Yes." That's the good news of the gospel, that God said yes to his son's perfect sacrifice for you. The good news that by his wounds, he paid your ransom. If you have said yes to him in return, you have far more to thank God for than the 9 rescued miners of Cue Creek Mine. He spared their lives, but on the cross, he saved your soul, all to make a wretch his treasure. Amen.